This morning, you will hear my testimonies regarding the prayer. Now, let me begin my first experience that I could remember quite well. It was my New Year's Eve prayer in 1975, 38 years ago. I still remember what I prayed to God that night. By then, I have been a Christian for 2 years. I was a senior in high school at the time and was about to apply to my dream college. I was a promising student all through the high school years. Unlike American high school system, in Korea, high school is 3 years instead of four. So for about 2.5 years, I was doing pretty good. Except the last semester, which was very critical in terms of, you know, deciding which college you go to. I was not doing well in academics tests. For instance, their equivalent, SAT test in Korea at the time, and I didn't do well. The score was kind of lower than what I had expected. Unlike today in America, where you can take two or three SATs and, you know, choose the best scores to submit, back then in Korea, it was just one-time deal. If you have done well, that's great. If you just didn't do too well, you have to wait another year to take that Korean SAT test. Not only that, on top of that, I wasn't doing well in school tests either. You know, as I said, I was doing pretty good, except the last semester, I was not doing really well at all. So looking at those two poor scores, my guidance counselor, also happened to be my homeroom teacher at the time, was convinced that, you know, he couldn't send me to the college that I always wanted to go. So I was crushed. You know, the hope to get into my dream college was slipping away from my hands. You see, that's when your loving mom comes in. Knowing her son was going through some tough time at school with a counselor, she came to my aid. She went to the counselor and she tried to reason with him that her son was well qualified to apply to the best college in Korea. If not, she argued, at least he deserved to give it a try. Well, my counselor would not budge. So for about a week in December, a tug of war was going on between the two, the counselor and my mother. In the meantime, I was caught in the middle and I was frustrated. So I decided to go to the Lord in prayer. You see, I learned from the church that we Christians are supposed to pray to God in times of hardship, right? Up until that point, I prayed almost every day, like anybody else. But I didn't truly understand what the prayer is all about. My prayers were more likely lukewarm and nominal, not meaning really words from my heart. All the words I said were cut and dried. Anyway, that night, I walked into the prayer room of my church, which happened to be in the basement, around 11 o'clock, very late. By the way, it was New Year's Eve, so normally there was a, you know, government curfew starting at midnight all the way to 4 o'clock in the morning, but that night was exempt. You know, it was the night before New Year's Day, so, you know, there was no curfew. So I didn't have to worry about rushing home before midnight. For some of you folks that, wow, you're at the church at 11 o'clock all by yourself, because we didn't drive. We walked, you know, from church, home, and everything. It was very safe streets, after all. So I was in the prayer room, and I started praying to the Lord as follows. Lord, I am confused and frustrated. I need to hear your voice right now. Capitalize it, right now. All I care is to know what you want me to do. Just tell me which college. Do you want me to apply to my dream college or the other college my counselor recommends? I really need to know tonight before I go home. If you don't tell me tonight, I won't be a believer anymore, any longer. And looking back, how foolish I was to give the Lord such an ultimatum. I'm sure you guys have done it too. Keep the thought in your mind, because I'm going to finish the second half toward the end of my sermon, because it's connected to the point that I'm trying to make. This morning, let's think about prayer. If the Bible, the Word of God, is the food to our soul, prayer is the breathing to our soul. Our soul depends on it. Without prayer, our soul will not survive. If you think your soul will be just fine without prayer, you are gravely mistaken. When you don't pray, your soul dies gradually, deprived of spiritual air or oxygen. When you don't pray, your soul would pant for prayer, like our body would pant for the air if we don't breathe even for a minute. And consider all the people of God in the Bible. My question for them is, did they pray? Yes. In fact, every one of them I know in the Bible prayed to God. Every Christian that I know who's faithfully following the Lord, they pray. Here's some example. Noah did, Abraham did, so did Moses, so did King David, so did Solomon, and all the prophets I know, they did. Even Jesus did, even though he was equal to God. In prayer, God revealed to them and communicated with them. And this is what the scripture said: God answers those who call upon his name. That's prayer. Now let's listen to what Jesus says about prayer in today's verse, which is printed in your bulletin, John 15:7. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you." That's the promise for prayer. Here I find Jesus laying out two conditions to the answered prayers. First of all, we need to abide in Jesus. What's that mean? Abide in Jesus. It means to remain in Jesus. And remember my sermon point in the past few Sundays? The sign of a believer in Christ, new creation in Christ, is to remain in him. Remain in Jesus means to be in him. To be in Christ means that whatever happened to Christ also happened to us. When Christ was crucified, so were we. That means our old self is dead when Christ was dead. When Christ resurrected, so did we as a new creation. Our old boss, that is us, in us, is gone and the new master has come. That is Christ. So it is no longer we who reign in us, but Christ who does. We no longer live for our selfish interests. Rather, we live for Christ to bring glory to his name. You and I no longer pursue our selfish desires. We rather serve Christ than others. Don't forget, no prayer based on selfish desires and motives is affirmatively answered by God. And here's the second condition that we need to satisfy before we expect any prayers to be answered. That is that let Christ's words abide in you. Christ says, if my words abide in you. This means that when you and I pray, we must cling to the word of God and to the promise that God has given us. You see, it will make our prayer life much more effective. What is Christ's words to prayer, if I may ask? It is like the nail on the wall. Imagine that, nail on the wall to the clothes. Let's say you want to hang your coat on the wall. You need something to hang onto, such as a nail, right? Or coat hanger. And no sane person keeps trying to hang the coat on the flat surface when there's no nail to hang onto. Same way with prayer. You pray to God with the backup of God's promise. Let me give an example. Let's say I ask for peace in my heart. We all ask for peace in our heart, in our lives. Instead of saying, Lord, grant me your peace. And that's the prayer. That's good. What about if we say, Lord, you promised that you will give me peace that the world cannot give or, nor take away from me. John 14:27. You don't have to remember the, you know, exact verse, but basically saying that, Lord, you promised that you would give me. And you are the author and the giver of peace. You know what Christ is called? Prince of Peace. So Lord, please grant me your peace. You know, this kind of prayer has a much better chance of being answered. So when we satisfy those two conditions, abide in Christ and his words abide in us, then ask for whatever we wish and it'll be done for us. Each time I read that sentence, I say, wow, this is a huge, huge promise. Christ wants us to expect, in other words, much greater things from God in our prayers. Whatever you wish, it'll be done. In other words, when we seek God's glory and do whatever he's pleased with, and when we cling to his promise in the word of God, then we can ask whatever we wish, and it will be answered. When was the last time you asked God to just grant you a huge one, and it was granted? Most of us kind of modest, humble. No, I'm not going to ask, you know, I'm not going to bother God. I mean, I've seen some individuals saying it. Here's my second experience. Some of you, I don't know whether you heard my testimony. It was 1977. Winter time again. I have three brothers, all of them older than I am. And my second brother, second oldest, he was 27 at the time. He was a young guy who loved the fun all the way through and drinking and smoking and whatnot. Anyway, one night he had fun with his girlfriend, and at the time he had a motorcycle. Well, he started driving motorcycle without helmet on his head. I'm sure already some of you already figured out where it is heading. He was drunk, driving the motorcycle without helmet, his girlfriend at the back, at night. And he ran into the city block, you know, brick wall, head on. Flung a couple of times in the air and landed on his head without helmet. Severe head injury. And by the time the family got the phone call from the emergency department, he was in already comatose. And they took the x-rays, and they found the size of the tennis ball blood clot in his brain, lodged in the brain there. Surgeon came to us and asked, what are we going to do? He gave us choice. Chances are, even after the operation, 50-50. Family discussed, and we decided not to have the surgery. So, from then on, my brother was in comatose. And here's yours truly, Gayun Choi. Very baby Christian even back then. Didn't know what to do, so I went to the Lord in prayer and fasting. Fasting is a little intense prayer, you know. So I was fasting, and on my second day, this is what I said. When we talk about asking whatever, I think that's what I did without realizing what I was doing. All I remember in my fasting and prayer on behalf of my brother was, Lord, give me the life of my brother. That's what I said. Give me the life of my brother. I kept saying and saying it. On the second day, you know, there is a time that God assured you that your prayer was answered. So that kind of peace and assurance has visited me that particular second day. So I stopped fasting and prayer because the answer was already given. So I just came down to my house and telling everybody in the family, oh, God will make him alive again. He'll make it. Well, my family members looked at me as if, you know, I was crazy. Because my brother was still in comatose. And there's no sign of, you know, just getting better. But this guy going around this, he's going to make it. He's going to live. Nobody believed in me. Well, his comatose continued another 13 days. He stayed in a comatose for 15 days to be exact. And on the 15th day, he came out of coma with no single, you know, knife on his head. And under 15 days, he stayed in the hospital. And exactly 1 month later, he walked out of the hospital on his own foot. And the same brother I'm talking about is still alive today. Praise God. So, ask whatever you wish. Sometimes it happens. Only when we ask. Now that leads me to the second verse, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now many of us are familiar with this verse. In fact, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible regarding prayer. First, it says, do not worry about anything. It literally means stop worrying. I think it's a human nature to worry about something constantly, right? Some of us are very good at it because we've been practicing for years. But what scripture says, before you start praying, stop worrying. You realize that, oh, I'm worrying, and put a stop right there. That's what the scripture said. Stop worrying. Because we do know worries don't do anything, do they? Actually, they do one thing. They keep us awake at night, and they keep our prayers from reaching God's throne room. They also choke up our prayers. They are the enemy of the prayers. So scripture says, stop worrying. Put the stop first before you start praying. And second, it says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Let's focus on the key word here, thanksgiving. We must wrap every prayer of ours with thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving is a key to the answered prayers. Here's the reality. Many of us do not bring thanksgiving in our prayers and wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers. In fact, some of us actually bring in the opposite, the very opposite of thanksgiving to our prayers. You know what that is? Grumbling. Some of us are grumbled, like I did, you know, when I was in high school. I grumbled, Lord, just you got to do something about this. Grumbling, you know. From now on, let's make sure that we bring thanksgiving into our prayers and see how our prayer life changes. It's like a child asking for her favorite candy from her mother. You know, she wouldn't start with grumbling. Oh, I hate this family. Mom, can you give me a candy? Nobody will give her a candy. You'd rather, you have to have a better chance if you start with the words of gratitude. It works the same way with our Heavenly Father. Wrap your prayers with thanksgiving. About the petitions we make, my recommendation is be specific. Do not ask God for just the things in general. Like, let me give you an example. Lord, give me a good day today. Well, let me tell you, lots of people who don't believe in God have a great day. This kind of prayer is too general, if you know what I mean. Here's another example. Lord, give me good health. Well, a lot of people who don't say a prayer enjoy excellent health as well. Whatever you pray for, be very specific that once answered, you cannot deny that it is from God. Let me give you an example. You know the story of Gideon in the Old Testament? He was a mighty warrior used by God to deliver Israel from the hands of the enemy. He used to be a farmer, you see. He was a farmer. And one day God visited him. Gideon, I want you to be in charge of the army of Israel. And Gideon says, no, I'm a farmer. Just go find someone else. And God says, no, you're the one. And Gideon says, are you sure, God? And God says, I'm positive. And Gideon says, no, before I do say yes to your invitation, I really want to see if this is from you. And this is what Gideon said to God. Lord, tomorrow morning, tonight I'm going to put the piece of wool, okay, on the ground. So if you do a miracle, small miracle for me, I'll believe that it is you. He says, wet the piece of wool with the morning dew. And the surrounding area, make it dry. And then I'll know that it's from you. And God says, sure, good enough. And that's exactly what God did the following morning. And Gideon, visited again the next day. Now, are you ready to go to the battle? And Gideon says, no, not really. Let me try one more time. I think it was too easy for you. So this is what Gideon did. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to put the same thing, the piece of wool out there. And this time, God, can you make all the surrounding area wet and the piece of wool dry? And then I will truly believe that it is from you. And God said, fair enough. And that's exactly what he did. The point is, he was very specific. Here's a piece of wool, make it wet or dry, and the rest of them, the opposite. And he knew he couldn't deny anymore. The same thing, if you study the scripture and looking at all the people who came to Jesus, he always asked, what do you want me to do for you? What can I do for you? And all of them, very specific. The blind man says, Lord, I want to see. And the leper says, I want to be cleansed. You got to be very specific in your prayers. And if we do not worry and bring the thanksgiving in your prayers and be specific, and then the result would be peace of God will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Remember my first story? The night that I gave God a foolish ultimatum. If you don't tell me tonight, I quit. Well, my prayer time was over, about an hour, and nothing happened. I didn't hear anything from God saying either way. So I said to God, all right then, this is it. So I went home and had a midnight snack. Well, we are entitled to do that kind of thing once in a while. So I was eating. I was in deep thought. And all of a sudden, again, this is a kind of new experience to me at the time. The Holy Spirit in me said to me, my child, everything is going to be all right. I didn't hear an audible voice, but you could tell the Holy Spirit telling me. And for the first time in my life, I had a peace overflowing in my heart that surpasses all understanding. I didn't know all these Philippians 4, 6, and 7 scripture, you see. But I had such a peace that overflowing in my heart. Indeed, everything's going to be all right. To make the long story short, the end result, my teacher and the guidance counselor reluctantly allowed me to apply to my dream college. And the Korean system, and you take the Korean SAT, and you take all the academic tasks in the school, internally, and the third task you need to take, you go to the college and take the entrance exam. So all these three scores combine and they decide whether you make it or not. So the 2 weeks later, I took another entrance exam, and praise God, I made it. I entered my dream college. So one day, not long after this incident, after I made it, I went to the school to thank my teacher for his support. I saw him working at his desk. As soon as he saw me, he stood up and literally ran up to me, and he grabbed my hand and saying, congratulations, Gayun. You saved my face. Thanks a million. I said to myself, saved your face? What's that mean? Later, I discovered that we had, in our homeroom, we had 54 students. Every single one of them applied to college of their choice, myself included. But I found out that I was the only one who made it first time. All 53 didn't make it. And each time I think of it, Lord, what's this? Man, why are you doing this to me? Or for me, in that matter? who praise God, who does things beyond our imaginations. That's my experience in prayer. So here's the action point for all of us. I recommend you to start your own prayer journal today. Now, simply put out a notebook or just a piece of paper. Draw two lines to make three columns. One column on the left and one column on your right, just about an inch wide. Big enough so that you could write down date. Though on your far left, you say that date that I start praying for certain things. The second column, the rest of it in the middle, you write down description. What I am praying for. As detailed as possible. Okay? And the last column on your right is basically you see that your prayer is answered. Okay? Now, this method I tried when I was in college. You'll discover Pastor Choi. He's not the guy that whoever, whatever people say that I just automatically believe, you know. I always wanted to make sure that it works for me as well by experimenting with it. So I choose, when I was in college, I decided before I just believe that prayer works or tell everybody that it works, I want to make sure that it works in my life. So I tested whether prayer works or not for about 6 months. And I still remember in my prayer journal, there were 96 entries altogether. 96. That's how I remember, folks. Unless you try it, how would you know whether prayer works or not? And all 96 entries in 6 months were answered. Don't get me wrong, not all as I wanted. Some of them yes and some of them no and others wait. But regardless, I found every single one of them was answered. And that convinced me, folks, that the Lord answers my prayers, and I realized that the prayer is so real. It's not just, oh yeah, prayer works, and you never taste what is it like. Never assume that prayer won't work until you try it. God indeed wants you to discover the power of prayer by yourself, by experimenting with it. Do not expect that God will always answer your requests immediately. Remember my silly prayer? I give you just about an hour, Lord. If you don't answer me, hey, too bad. Mm-mm. Sometimes he gives us immediate answers, but other times he waits. Do not assume that God will always say yes to every request of yours. Sometimes, you know, he says no, like any other loving parent, especially when he knows it's going to hurt you rather than help you by granting your wishes. Do not assume that God will say no all the time either, because he will surprise you like he did with answers beyond your imagination. And one thing is for sure. Once you experience the power of prayer firsthand, you will never depart from it. We cannot live without prayer. So let us start praying today. Let's bow our heads and pray.